Today on Real Radio.
Some of you are going to be set free from what we're about to do. When I ask the question, I want all of you to say, no!
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the second half of chapter 12 today, where the Apostle Paul talks about you and I as Christians and how we're to do church. Paul uses body parts as analogies for the various gifts that different believers have within the body of Christ. In fact, a lot of folks find the language in this part of the Bible to be humorous at times. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called A Working Church is a Living Church.
If you pray and you say, Lord, I'm so open, let me know, and we pray for you, Lord, just let our brother know, speak to him, it's your will that he knows, open his ears that he would hear, and Lord, show him what gift it is that you've engineered for his life. In Jesus' name, amen. And then we're going to look him right in the face, look that lady right in the face, and say, now as you go from this place, be watching for God to speak to you about what gift or gifts he wants you to use. And I guarantee you, now it's solely up to you listening to the Lord. And if that excites you, he'll blow your mind. You will not be disappointed. Well, it's not only assignment, it's usefulness. Our second ordained value is youthfulness found in verses 22 to 24. Can God use us? Look at this. No, listen, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Think about people who pray and you don't even know who they are. Do we need them? We need them the most. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, well, who needs that guy? Uh-oh, on these we bestow greater honor. Don't underestimate anyone in the body of Christ. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. Look at this. But God composed the church, the body, you and I, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. What are we saying here? Well, number one, we know this. The church at Corinth had incredible gifts. I mean, look at this church. They had a huge collection of gifts in one church. Not all of the gifts, but a lot of them. But this is amazing to me, is that God has assembled it with a specific point of usefulness. I don't need to belabor this. I'll simply put it this way. This is, to me, terrifying. Christian, listen. In fact, I appreciate before services started this morning, I have a brother I pray with. It's the last thing I do before I come out here. There's prayer going on at certain times of the morning, but then I have a brother that he and I just get together and pray. And he didn't know my notes. He didn't know that usefulness was in my notes. And he said, Lord, just make sure, empower Jack, come upon him so that his efforts today are honoring to you and useful to the kingdom. And I heard that and I went, yes. Why? Why? Because God has designed, listen, God has designed everything he has made for a purpose, and you he has made for a purpose. And it's awesome. And by the way, you can't even clearly define it until you live it. Until you're at the end of your days and you look back and you go, wow, thank you, God. To think, though, for a moment, to be unusable to God, to me, is terrifying. To be unusable. Can you say, don't say it, don't raise your hand, but can you say right now, where you're at, I know what it's like to be used by God? If you know that's true, then you'll agree with me on this. In fact, let me preface by saying this. There are women today that are caught up with materialism. Or there are women today that are caught up with a desperate internal need of me time. I hear a lot of that these days. I'm going to abandon my kid for a while. I need me time, not knowing you are actually preparing the last few steps of your demise. You've been deceived. Me time will destroy you. I hear men today of saying, you know what, I just gotta get some fresh air. And you run from your problems. Or men today will say, well, you know, I guess dealing with pornography is just something every man's got to do. Just every man's got to find his own way. Wrong. And all these areas, watch this. And all these areas, if you know what it's like to be used by God, you will cherish that, protect it, and defend it at all costs. If you're tempted to gossip or go to that chat room to talk to your old boyfriend from high school, you will not, because you fear that God may not use you. You might trip up and fall, and God might not use you again. If you have that temptation to click on that site, you will not, because you won't sacrifice being used by God for one stupid click. When you determine to love God and what he's doing in your life more, you won't know what I'm talking about. But if today, and I don't care, listen, you're going to write me letters. Remember, sign them. I don't care what your issue is. I believe God has engineered us this way, that no matter what life has done to us, I don't care if you were born Helen Keller and sexually abused, drugged behind a bus, and made fun of. I don't care if you were bullied. I don't care what has gone on in your life. I believe God has engineered the Bible under the power of the Holy Spirit to set you free from anything that's ever happened in your life. That's how big my God is. That's how big your God is. He can do this, and he does this. And when you take that and you apply that for 30 days in your life, personally, I don't think it takes 30 days. It can take 30 hours. You apply that time, that effort to God, and let him work with you in life, you'll look at the stuff of this world and say, get out of here, you pathetic, weak, ignorant temptation. We only trip up when we get our eyes off of God. Ask King David, huh? He's amazing. Why? Usefulness. The next thing is relationship. Everything you and I know about is based upon relationship. We share a God-ordained value, and the third one is an ordained value, relationship. That there should be no schism. Look at verse 25, division, splits in the body. Can you imagine? Here he's talking about the unity of a body, and he's saying that there should be no dissection of an arm. An eye should not be cut out of the body. That's not normal. You should not cut your toe off. But that rather members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. I love how he's made our body. I stuck my finger yesterday, in a rose thorn. Walked by a rose bush, wham! That little thing right there, it actually went between my fingernail. Right there, and I went, okay, it caused me to... wince, squat, stand up, shake my hand, look at it. It was a little stab of a rose thorn caused my 200-pound frame to, whoa! Why? Because I'm one. I'm one with myself. The body of Christ is one with us. When this person, listen, if Mike gets hurt, if Mike gets injured, if Mike gets poked, all of a sudden, the rest of us who know this are now concerned. Lovingly, I say, we're distracted by it. How is he? What's going on? Is he all right? That is body life. That is like him being the finger and the rest of the body squatting down or shaking the hand or wincing. And as a church, we're to do this. You say, Pastor, I have a fundamental problem with this church. It's too big. I said, listen here. Don't ever try to lay that on me. I came from a church that dwarfs the size of this church. And people in that church are crazy in love with one another because you know what? You see this group over here, okay, you are now on notice. Watch this. This group right here, you begin to meet one another every week because come on, you guys sit in the same spot relatively so every same week, don't you, right? Huh? Get to know them. Start getting to know them right here. What's your name? I mean, what's your name? Oh, hey, nice to meet you. And all of a sudden, you start looking for each other each week. Hey, what's going on? Hey, afterwards, we're going to go get some fish tacos. You want to come with us? Right? Amen. Hello, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Start, do you know 10 people around you in your area? That's the church I came from, Lisa, and I did that. And we know those people still to this day, 35 years later, 30 years later. It's a long time. How old is my wife? 29. It's been 29 years. Relationship. Everything in the universe is keyed upon relationship with each other. One molecule in the universe needs to get along with the other one from here to the Milky Way. And if it doesn't, you have a nuclear reactor. What about your body? When your body doesn't get along and one cell begins to war against another cell, you know what you call it? Cancer. That's called cancer when a cell doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It's amazing to think. Relationship. Coming together is a glorious, glorious thing. Third and final point, we'll end on this third point. Verses 28 to 31, it is that we share a God-appointed function. Every one of us. Look what he says here, it's the right job. We've been appointed to the right job. I try to use words right now in this closing argument that words that we can relate to. Everybody's talking about jobs right now. No one's got any jobs. If the people would stop protesting on Wall Street and go looking for a job, they might find one. Amen. Job. Well, listen, there is no unemployment in the house of God's people. In the same token, no one gets to go on strike. I'm a believer, but I'm not playing anymore. I'm a Christian, but I'm just going to go sit in the corner over there and suck my thumb because I'm just a hand and I want to be an eye. And the eye sits over there and I don't like any of you guys. I'm just going to watch all you guys mess up all the time. No, man, you come together and it's only when we're together that we experience that amazing purpose for why God established the church. We don't have to go the way of statistics. We don't have to go. A lot of people are burned on church these days. And in most part, I agree with them. But Jesus loves the church. Size doesn't matter. You guys, when Peter preached the gospel, 3,000 people got saved in one day. That's just those who got saved in one day. In one message, he had a mega church. So forget about size. I don't care if it's 12 of you or hundreds of thousands of you. And it doesn't matter. God has put you in the right place for the right job. Can I say something with all love? If you are a bumblebee Christian, they're terrible bumblebee Christians. Bumblebee Christians fly from one church to the next church. They talk Christianese. Okay? And they love sermonettes because they're Christianettes. Okay? And they're usually really, normally, fun, happy people because they don't have to get into the day-to-day workings of a church. They're not involved at all. They also have a lot of head knowledge. They hear the greatest sermons because they find out where the next person's speaking, where, and they go there, oh, and then they go to the next person. Oh, wow! Little do they know, they're killing themselves, man. That kind of relationship only lasts about a day, if you think about it, according to God's time clock. Because they're not being used. So listen, if this is your home church, will you just pray about it first and then get committed until God tells you to move on? If you're a bumblebee Christian, make sure that you get the bumblebee-ness out of you wherever you finally land. Get it out of you. Because you need to grow somewhere. And you know how you grow? You grow, you got a deal. You know what a body has to do? Oh, a body? Oh, how many of you are 30 and over? Raise your hand. You're 30 and over. Oh, wait, how many are 30 and under? Raise your hand. 30 and under? Okay, you guys are probably not paying attention to me anyway, so it's okay. Have you noticed? Doggone it. Have you noticed as you get older, hair starts growing in places that it ought not to grow. It's not right. The skin is falling now over my eyes, and it's getting harder to push my eyes up. I can hear less now. My hearing's not as good as it was, but my ears are bigger now. This is not good. I've noticed I have a small nose. I've always had a small nose. People have told me it's disproportional to my face. It's too small. Finally, now my nose is growing in my old age. It's getting bigger. Why do certain things grow and certain things don't as you grow along? In life, it's the stuff that you don't want gets bigger. Thank God in the church, if we just grow as He's ordained, guess what? The great stuff gets greater. The best stuff gets better. The dumb stuff that we don't want goes away. Think of that. It's amazing how He's done things. God is positioned in the church. The word is appointed, set in a very specific place. And look, we're going to glaze over this because we're going to get into it a lot in the next couple of months. First, apostles, those are messengers. In the first century definition, they were men and women of miraculous powers that preached or sent out the word of God. We would use the word an ambassador for Christ today. They went into regions of hostile environments with miraculous powers, and they established churches. Are there apostles today? Not in the sense as it was of the first century. But if you want to say apostles today, where there are pioneers, missionaries who are not just missionaries, they are pioneer missionary venturists for the kingdom. They go to areas and they establish things cold turkey from the start, and miraculous powers may or may not accompany them. They're more of a planter type, and they go and they stay. Prophets, simply those who are anointed speakers holding forth the word of God to the masses. Teachers, this is the gift that I have. I know this. I fought it for years, but I know this. The word means instructor. The word means, listen to this, instructor, doctor, journeyman, master, teacher. Interesting. Doctor, journeyman. And you look those up. You know what they have in common? See, I'd like to know. One works on people, the other one works on wood or whatever. It's great. They go over their topic thoroughly. That's what we're supposed to do. That's why I hate clocks. My alarm just went off saying, stop. Why? Because a teacher of the word of God, we could talk about, pick you. You know you've got the gift of teaching when, number one, you're reading, you'll love to study, for one thing. Second thing is, you'll come to a topic, and you'll exhaust it. You'll spend the next year and a half studying that topic. Now, I don't mean publicly right now. I mean privately. And you'll uncover everything. You'll go over and over and over the topic, the issue, right? Like a doctor does a body, or like a journeyman does the wood, okay? And that's why you can say, well, let's talk about what does the Bible say about sin, or the Bible say about death, or the Bible say about disease? A person with the gift of teaching can talk on that topic indefinitely. And I mean indefinitely. I think you guys all know this. The gift of helps. Look at that. You guys, this church, I have to tell you, the personal attribute of this church, I see it personally. You guys operate like I've never seen in any church ever. The gift of helps is in action in this church. And I've never seen anything like it. Somebody could walk down the aisle right here, trip and fall. And in some churches, people will go, oh, bummer, man. I wish I would have my camera on. That would have been hilarious. Somebody in this church, 20 people will headbutt themselves and knock each other out trying to help that one guy. I've seen it happen here. You know K.P. Yohanan and Gospel for Asia? You know the guy, he came and spoke here. He's been speaking for 30, 40 years. He came here and he spoke about how you can adopt a kid in India. And by the end of the day, he got a hold of me. I was in some country. He was a guest spoke here. And information got to me. He said, I've never had this happen in my life. I've taught at churches 3 times your size. You guys wound up adopting almost 700 kids in one day. How does that happen? That is helps. That is amazing. You hear something, your heart is tugged, God moves you, and things are done. You guys are absolutely, I've never seen anything like it. I could go on all day just about that. Administrations is the gift of being in a church and causing organization to happen. You don't have to be on staff to have that. It happens. Look at this, verses 29 to 30. God's appointed us with the best stuff. I didn't know what other word to use, the best stuff. Here it comes. God has appointed and allocated the best for us as a church. Some of you are going to be set free from what we're about to do. When I ask the question, I want all of you to say, no. Why? Because the Greek construction has the definite negative in this, meaning that the words Paul used, the questions demand one answer, and the answer is no. You can't put in a yes in there. It's impossible. Are you ready? When I ask you a question, say no really loud, okay? Here you go. Verse 29. Are all apostles?
No.
Are all prophets?
No.
Are all teachers?
No.
Are all workers of miracles?
No.
Do all have gifts of healings?
No.
Do all speak with tongues?
No.
Do all interpret?
No.
The Greek demands a no. Not everyone's an eye. Not everyone's a foot. Guess what? Not everyone's an apostle. Not everyone's a prophet. Not everyone speaks in tongues. Not everyone has the gift of healing. Some of you have been raised up in churches where if you didn't speak in tongues, you're going to hell. Paul the apostle says no. Isn't that liberating? God knows what's best for you, what's perfectly great for you. And then we end with this. We've been appointed for the greatest purpose. Ultimately, look at this, but earnestly desire the best. The word is greater. Earnestly desire the greater gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Verse 31, circle it. It is an announcement to not a person, but to a body of believers. The verse 31 means to a church. Paul's making a statement to the church. He's saying, hey, church, earnestly desire the greatest gifts. Why? Because the kingdom will be advanced. Oh, and by the way, he's saying, next time when we get together, I'll show you a more excellent way. Way, what? What way? I thought Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. Exactly. The way, the truth, and the life is Jesus Christ. The Bible says God is love. Chapter 13 is the love chapter. We've all been to a Hallmark store. We've all read it. The gifts, church growth, your development, what I'm doing right now, the gifts that you're going to go operate right now, do you understand they're absolutely worthless if we don't love God first and love one another?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the second half of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is one of those passages where Paul uses comparative language to illustrate the various gifts that different believers have in the body of Christ. Now, this is actually part of a mini-series we've been hearing over the past several days here on Real Radio about the relevant church. A working church is a living church. That's the title of today's lesson. Again, a working church is a living church. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget to visit hischannel.com tonight to watch Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night at 7 o'clock West Coast time. That's at hischannel.com. We hope you'll watch. Now, tonight, Pastor Jack brings us part two of his interview with combat veteran and Delta Force founding member, General Jerry Boykin. A lot of folks commented on the last show. We think you're going to like this one, too. We'll ask, why did General Boykin join Family Research Council? And also, of all the threats we face in our nation today, which are the most urgent? We'll find out tonight on Real Life with Jack Hibbs at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. Just click on Live TV Stream for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our phone number here at Real Radio, it's easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.